Welcome to a new episode of The Indian Interest, the podcast in which we examine the world from the perspective through the lens of the Indian national interest. And in this video, I'm going to speak about the Jai Shankar Doctrine. It's a topic I have spoken about before, but I would like to re-examine it in a little more detail because it is central to India's emerging position in the global geopolitical multipolar world order. So the Jai Shankar Doctrine has come into focus ever since the events of February 24, 2022, which is the beginning of the Russian intervention in Ukraine. Now, as we know, India has adopted a neutral position in this entire matter. India has not taken the Western line. India has not towed the Western line and condemned Russia and voted against Russia. Neither has India taken the Russian perspective or the Russian side in this matter. India has adopted a neutral, independent foreign policy. And this has not gone down well with the West. We have seen a multitude of sharp reactions from various quarters in the West, from the media, from various think tanks, from various geopolitical, geostrategic and political experts, from diplomats, and all across Twitter. We see all these sharp reactions against India and this constant lecturing India and bullying India and castigating India and telling India essentially to get in line and do as you're told. And this has brought into sharp focus where India truly stands in the eyes of the West. It has exposed those who are India's adversaries as well as those who are India's well-wishers. And actually, this is how the West has always seen India. But these recent events have brought it all out into the open. In the past, it was all concealed under nice language and diplomatic speak and all that. But now it's all out in the open. It's all exposed in black and white. And this has also brought into focus India's well-thought-out, well-crafted and firm response to this Western sanctimony and hypocrisy and bullying. India has not given in. India is standing firm and India is crafting an independent foreign policy. So let's talk doctrine. What is a doctrine? A doctrine is a framework. It's a worldview. It's a set of principles and policies and strategies and tactics and practices. It's something that guides your actions in the pursuit of your objectives. A doctrine is where art meets science meets wisdom. A doctrine combines all three and offers a framework that has to be applied judiciously in the pursuit of your objectives. A doctrine focuses your actions. Without a doctrine, you are lost, you are rudderless, you are all slogans like look east and act east, but there is no progress in the direction that your nation needs to go in. So that's what a doctrine does. Every nation, every military, every organization needs a doctrine. So before we go into the Jai Shankar Doctrine, let's talk a little bit about who Dr. Jai Shankar is. So Dr. S. Jai Shankar joined the Indian Foreign Service in 1977 over a long and storied career as a career diplomat. He has served as ambassador to a number of countries, including China and the United States. He understands both countries very well. And he played an important role in negotiating the 2005 Indo-US civilian nuclear agreement. He became the External Affairs Minister in 2019. In my estimation, he is most likely the most influential and competent External Affairs Minister India has had in recent memory. No disrespect to any other former foreign ministers, but that's how I see him. And most importantly, he has a very important attribute, which is that he is trusted by the Prime Minister. So before 2019, Prime Minister Modi was essentially acting as his own external affairs minister. He would go to every important bilateral or multilateral engagement himself and act as the de facto foreign minister of India. That's the role Mr. Modi played in his first term. And now that role has been taken over by Dr. Jai Shankar, and he is doing it very well. So what is the Jai Shankar Doctrine? It's a framework for India for how to engage with the West. It's a framework for Indo-US relations as well as a framework for how India should engage with other nations that are not quite part of the West. And Dr. Jai Shankar has spoken about this on multiple occasions on various public forums. He has given multiple speeches about this, about his worldview and how he thinks India should go forward. So that's where we get the clues for what the Jaishankar Doctrine is. So what are the main points, the salient points of the Jaishankar Doctrine? Firstly, there is the recognition, the assertion that the West imposed two centuries of humiliation upon India. The plunder of at least $45 trillion worth of India's wealth and the accompanying genocide of untold millions of Indians. So there is the explicit recognition and assertion of this fact. I have spoken about a millennium of humiliation, which includes the Turkic occupation of India and the European occupation of India, of which the British occupation was about two centuries or so. So Dr. Jaishankar concentrates on the two centuries of British or Western occupation of India and the humiliation of India that ensued as part of that. And this assertion is very important because it is a good counter, an excellent counter to the constant lecturing by the West about democracy and human rights and other things. It is very important that India keeps asserting the fact that India, whatever position India is in today, is a consequence of the complete destruction of India's economy and society by the West, the two centuries of humiliation. So that's point number one of the Jaishankar Doctrine. Point number two of the Jaishankar Doctrine is the definition of what the West is. What constitutes the West? So the West is the United States and its satellite states. It includes the US, the Five Eyes Alliance, the Anglosphere, the European Union, NATO, and also countries such as Japan and South Korea. So the West is not a geographic designation. It's a political concept, a geopolitical concept that emerged from the Cold War. Point number three is that the West is led by the US and represented by the US. Essentially, to put it very crudely, the West is the US empire. The US is the sole superpower as of today, and the term superpower is nothing but a euphemism for empire. So the West is essentially the US empire. So that's not something that Dr. Jaishankar has said explicitly, but it's implied that that's what the West is. Point number four is that the US shares responsibility for two centuries of national humiliation experienced by India at the hands of the British Empire. Now, this is something that most people would possibly disagree with. I mean, we have all been taught that the US and the British Empire are two different entities, but that is not quite the case. Let's reframe the British Empire in a different manner. Instead of calling it the British Empire, let's call it the English Empire or the English-speaking Empire. And then everything comes sharply into focus. So what happened is that in the 1920s and 1930s, the British Empire went into decline. And by 1945, the headquarters of this empire moved westwards from London, UK to Washington, DC in North America. That's all that happened. The headquarters moved to a different location, and yet the system continued, the empire continued. Every single aspect of the British Empire still exists in some form or the other. The US merely built upon that. That's what happened. And we have seen this happen in the past as well. The Roman Empire went into decline in Rome, in Europe, and at the same time, it underwent an upsurge in the East. So the headquarters of this empire moved from Rome in Italy to Byzantium at the crossroads of Europe and Asia. So it's a phenomenon that we have witnessed in the past. The rise of the Byzantine Empire, which was the Eastern Roman Empire, the Eastern manifestation of the Roman Empire. And similarly, in 1945, the British Empire or the English-speaking Anglosphere Empire underwent a resurgence, and its headquarters was transferred to Washington, D.C., and that's where it has been ruling from ever since. So the U.S. is essentially a continuation of the British Empire. And because of that, the U.S. shares responsibility for the two centuries of national humiliation that India experienced at the hands of the English-speaking people. And if you look at history, much of the U.S. was built out of wealth plundered from India. Look up Yale University. Eliyahu Yale was a British East India Company official who eventually ended up founding Yale College, which became Yale University. His entire wealth came from the wealth plundered from India. And there are lots of other examples. Much of the US has been built with wealth extracted out of India. And much of the West has been built from wealth stolen from India. And therefore, the US shares responsibility for the two centuries of national humiliation experienced by India at the hands of the British. The fifth point of the Jaishankar Doctrine is that Russia and the USSR are not part of the West. They are part of the East, which includes India. And therefore, Russia does not share responsibility for the two centuries of national humiliation that India experienced at the hands of the West. Russia is not the West. The USSR was not the West. This is an Eastern entity that includes India. The East includes India. Point number six is that today the West both supports India and suppresses India. The objective is very clear. India should neither become too strong nor too weak. India should stay somewhere in between so that it can be used to achieve whatever geopolitical objectives the West has, essentially as a form of a counterweight against China. But the West doesn't want to make the mistake it made with China. It allowed China to rise. It aided and abetted the rise of China. This mistake will not be made again. They do not want India to become a future competitor at some point in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And therefore, the West suppresses India in a variety of ways while supporting India in certain ways. So there is an explicit recognition of this fact. So what's the way forward for India? And that is point number seven. India's way forward is strategic autonomy, multi-alignment in a multipolar world. Note that this is not the same as non-alignment. India will align itself in a variety of ways with multiple nations based on shared interests. So that is the way forward for India. Point number eight, India will engage in full, complete cooperation with the West when it comes to economic development activities. Complete cooperation in this regard. But point number nine, India will engage in issue-based cooperation with the West when it comes to security matters and strategic and geopolitical matters. India will prioritize its national interest. India will put its national interest first. It will prioritize shared interests over shared values. And India will exhibit complete autonomy when it comes to its geopolitical choices. Now, this emphasis on shared interests is interesting because you will always see the US talk about shared values when it comes to its relationship with India. And yet, when it comes to the US relationship with Pakistan, they always emphasize on about shared interests. Now, it's interesting that in geopolitics, as well as in life, shared interests always trump shared values. So the US likes to emphasize values when it comes to India, but interests when it comes to Pakistan. So India is now going to emphasize and prioritize shared interests over shared values. So what we are witnessing now is the slow, gradual, but increasing resistance to Western interference in the internal matters of India. The West has a policy of using democracy and human rights and press freedom and religious freedom as sticks to beat India with and as levers to apply pressure on India with. Now there is a slow, gradual, but increasing resistance to these attempts to pressurize India. And we are now also observing, since the beginning of this year, a flurry of diplomatic activity centered around India. Lots of diplomats and world leaders coming to India, Indian diplomats and ministers and officials visiting other countries, a big flurry of diplomatic activity happening right now. So India is apparently emerging as a third global pole in a multipolar world order. Obviously, it's still too early to consider India to be one of the top three nations in the world, but we are seeing steps being taken in that direction. And there is a lot of engagement with lots of countries, especially smaller countries that are often overlooked in the global sphere. And that's what the Jaishankar Doctrine is. It's about asserting India's interests. It's about putting India's national interest first. It's about engaging with the world on the basis of shared interests and mutual respect. It's about creating a genuinely free and fair, rules-based, multipolar world order. It's about ensuring that India rises rapidly to its full potential. It's about ensuring that India eventually reclaims its rightful place in the global order. Thank you for watching this video. I hope you liked it, and I will see you in the next one.